you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
The word gospel translates to news that brings joy. But this isn't just any news. A gospel is news that changes a life forever. After being invaded and enslaved by Persia, Greece won two decisive battles at Marathon and Solnus. The Greeks sent out heralds, also called evangelists, to proclaim the good news to the cities. We have fought for you. We have won. And now you're no longer slaves. You're free. The reality is that we are all slaves, slaves to sin and slaves to death. We are slaves in need of good news. Enter Jesus, God's Son, fully God, fully man, bringing news that would change our lives forever. His news was this: I am the divine, come to you to do what you could not do for yourself. I will take what you deserve so you can have what I deserve. You have no idea how much it will cost me, but you also cannot imagine the depths of my love for you. It is a gift that I give freely. So repent. Repent from all the ways you run from me and follow me. Follow me because I am the only way to eternal life. Follow me because I'm the Savior you've been looking for. Follow me because I have authority over everything, yet I have humbled myself for you. Follow me because I died on a cross for you, because I'm your true love and your true life. This is my good news for you. This is my gospel, that you have been saved by grace and that you are slaves no more.
What a great video to remind us that we are free in Christ. I'm so glad that you are here today. I invite you to take your Bible and open it to Galatians chapter 2 or turn on your Bible. Galatians 2 is where we're going to be focusing our time in the text today. And as you're turning to Galatians chapter 2, I'll remind you that at the conclusion of our time today, we're going to be participating in the Lord's Supper. So if you haven't had a chance to get the element of bread and a cup at your ready, we'll be doing that a little bit later. One of the things that I miss the most, and I think it's okay to think about what life was like before COVID and just the changes that have happened. I heard somebody this past week talk about how the last few months have been like a fault line, and pre-COVID was one way, and then COVID and into the future is like on this fault line. And so the thing that comes to my mind when I think about our time together this morning that I kind of miss, besides just having the whole church together in this room, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to continue gathering both in person and away from the campus. But one of those things that I just really enjoyed when everyone was in the same space together was that we had four different Lord's Supper or communion stations, and at any point in time, if someone felt like that's how they wanted to worship the Lord and remember what Jesus did at the cross to give us back our lives and to pay the price for us to be free in Him, is they could go over to any of those Lord's Supper stations and take the bread and take the cup and remember and worship in that way. And so we're all learning a new normal. We're figuring out our new rhythm as we continue to move forward. And so one of those things that has shifted, has pivoted a bit, is if you come back into this room and when the time is right for you on that, and those who are in here right now, if you've been here before, you may look over and go, yeah, I don't see those Lord's Supper stations anymore. Well, for hygienic reasons, we we want to shift and do some things a little bit differently. And so instead of having that opportunity to just at any time you want to, let me just say this. If you really feel like you need to take the Lord's Supper every single week, then just smuggle in a little cracker and smuggle in a little bitty something to drink, and you just feel the freedom to do that. Otherwise, know that we're going to be starting a new rhythm. And the first Sunday of each month, we'll try to kind of circle those first Sundays and be in that new rhythm together, taking the Lord's Supper together. I always love those moments when we do all stop and pause and just kind of slow down and point our mind's attention, our heart's affection back to what it was that Jesus did on the cross. And we'll do that a little bit later on when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But right now, I want us to continue in our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians. I mentioned to you when we started this study a few weeks back that it was the story of Eugene Peterson, prominent pastor, prominent writer, great mind in biblical languages. He was the one who is credited with translating the Bible into more modern vernacular English that's just become kind of well known in the Western world as The Message. And so listening back to what was the catalyst for him taking on that project. It actually was back when he was a new, fresh, green pastor, and he was starting out. He planted this church up in the Maryland area, and in the late 60s, when he was kind of starting that part of his ministry, if you know your history of American history, man, the landscape in that day looked similar to some of the landscape in our day today, where the race riots, particularly in that part of America, were really volatile. They were really raging. And so this new young green pastor of these people are going, man, what can we talk about from God's word that can help us discern how God wants us to live in the midst of a very difficult and tension-filled time in society? And so he took the book of Galatians and he translates it into more modern vernacular. And so when I heard that, I was just like, man, let me pull my copy of The Message off of the shelf. And I read it. And I was like, it just came to life in a fresh way, a different kind of way. And so I've so enjoyed this time in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in his introduction to Galatians in The Message, he helps remind us of what was going on in that part of the biblical world that Paul was writing to the Galatians. And what it says was that when men and women get their hands on religion, one of the first things that they try to do is find a way to use religion to control other people, to put people in their place, or to try to keep people in their place. And people have been using religion in this way for centuries and centuries. And no wonder that people who have only known religion as something to be used against them, suddenly they experience freedom and release when they come face to face with a religion that now is for them. And that frees them to live the life God always desired for them to live. And that new freedom, it's a breath of fresh air. It's like when you take your mask off and just take that breath, except that breath is not just into your lungs, it's into your soul, and it oxygenates your whole life, and it can be so life-producing, and yet it also, it turns out, that can sometimes be very short-lived. And so Paul of Tarsus, he was doing his very best to try to control people when suddenly he gets his life turned around by the power of Jesus. We talked about that from Acts chapter 9, his story where Jesus encounters Paul and he turns his life around and he rescues him from this religion that was oppressing people, and he puts him on a whole new path, this free life in God. And so through Jesus, Paul then learns that God was not some kind of force to be used to make people behave in certain kinds of ways, but a personal Savior who sets people free from their sin and free to live the life that God designed them and created them and longs for them to experience. God is not trying to control us with a bunch of rules, with a bunch of regulations on the outside. He has set us free by giving us new life on the inside. And this change in the Apostle Paul, this freedom that he experienced, it was so great that he told everybody that he came into contact about it. And so in his early travels, he founded a series of small churches in this Roman province known as Galatia. Galatia is modern-day Turkey over on the Mediterranean Sea. And then a few years later, Paul learns that these religious leaders who continued to see religion as a way to try to control people, they had worked their way, weaseled their way into these little churches that Paul had started in Galatia. Those religious leaders, we've been calling them agitators. We've been calling these people the agitators. They start calling Paul's views and his teachings into question. And they start challenging Paul's authority. And they're trying to kind of herd all the freedom-loving Christ followers back into this proverbial corral of religious rules and religious regulations. And Paul is just furious. Paul's furious at this. He was furious with these agitators who were so anxious to try to control and to talk these new Christians into giving up their freedom that they had experienced and received by putting their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And Paul also, he was furious at these new Christians for allowing themselves to be talked into it, to giving their freedom back up. He's like, guys, what are you doing? That's not who you are. That's not what Jesus died for. And so Paul's letter to the Galatians and these churches helps them and it helps us to recover our original freedom. And Paul does something else throughout the book of Galatians. He actually begins to define freedom, define what it is, what it looks like. And Paul, he gives specific advice in his letter on how to protect our lives that were meant for freedom. Because, friends, freedom can be lost very easily if we are not careful, if we do not protect our freedoms. And so today we're going to pick up in our study where we left off last week. We'll pick up in just a moment in Galatians chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verses 6, and we'll go through verse 10 this morning. So just to kind of reframe where we left off, if you remember, Paul has just said in his letter at the start of chapter 2 that he went up to Jerusalem and he sets out his understandings of the gospel that he'd been preaching to all of the Gentile people or non-Jewish people. Any person who was not born Jewish is categorized as a Gentile. And so Paul's been preaching the gospel to all the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people, and he goes to Jerusalem. He sets out what his message has been before some of the key influencers of the church, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because Paul wanted to make sure that he knew where they stood, they knew where he stood, and to see if what he had been preaching, what he had been sharing, was matching up with what the leaders in the Jerusalem church understood the gospel to be. And so Paul is about to name them here in just a second. James, the brother of Jesus. Cephas, also known as Peter or Simon Peter. And then John, some of the real heavyweight spiritual heroes in the faith. Are they preaching the same gospel that Paul had been preaching? Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What Jesus did on the cross when he laid down his life, that was sufficient for salvation. You don't need to do any other kind of religious song and dance to get acceptance from God, to get the hug from God. You don't have to try to become Jewish to be a follower of Jesus. You don't have to have this surgical procedure known as circumcision. They talk about that all throughout this letter. That was a kind of a big marker on whether you were in the club or not in the club. And what Jesus did was enough, whether you were a Jewish person or a Gentile person. Because you see, here's the reality. Everybody's equal when it comes to the severity of our sin. Everybody's on equal footing. We've all fallen short of God's glory when it comes to sin. And everybody, no matter who you are, every person who puts their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for salvation, receiving his grace, can be forgiven, can find peace in their life, no matter what their race, nationality, gender, tax bracket. What Jesus did on the cross was enough. It is finished, is what Jesus said. And he meant it. And it was true. And it was for everybody. That's what we've been saying in this series, kind of in a catchphrase, is this: Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Would you just say that out loud as a confession, as a reminder that this is what Galatians is about? Say that with me. Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so we pick back up in Paul's letter in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, and Paul continues and he says, "And from those who seem to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality." Look at that statement. God shows no partiality. Now, Paul's not being snarky here, okay? He's saying, friends, God just sees people as people. They're people, precious, valuable, created in God's image. Nobody's better than anybody else. They're just people whom God loves, valuable and equal. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. Again, Paul's not being snarky here. Paul is saying, I sat before these influencers, these influential people in the church. I shared what I was understanding the gospel to be. And these influencers, these key leaders of the church, they didn't add anything to what I was saying. As a matter of fact, as I'm talking before them, as I'm laying it all out, they're nodding. They're going, "Yeah, that's right. You understand what we understand the gospel to be." And so we pick up in verse 7. "On the contrary, when they," these influencers, "when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised," or to the Gentile people, the non-Jewish people, that was the call for Paul, "when I'd been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised," or to the Jewish people. "For he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine with the Gentiles." Look at verse 9. "And when James And Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, when they perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave what? The right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and to me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only, verse 10, only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what's Paul saying here? What's happening here? What's he talking about? Let's break that down a little bit. What's Paul saying to these agitators, to these ones who came to the churches of Galatia that I started on one of my previous missionary journeys, the ones who said, yeah, believing in Jesus is essential. It's just not enough. You need to do a little bit more to really show your devotion to God, to really make sure that you're in right standing before God. You need to do a little bit more than just put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. You also really need to become Jewish, or what these agitators are saying. You need to become circumcised if you really want to be saved, if you really want to show, hey, I'm in right standing with God. And the pillars of the church, James was Jesus's brother, the key leader of the church in Jerusalem. And James and Cephas, aka Peter, Simon Peter, and then John, those three superheroes of the faith. Paul's going, they're all agreeing with me. They're preaching the same message I'm preaching. And what I've been saying, Paul says, in not so many words, is this. Say it with me. Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And not only that, it's for everybody. No matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from, what race you are, what your parents are like, what they've done. No, it's not about what they've done. It's about what Jesus did. And what Jesus did on the cross, it was for you. And friends, the gospel is for you on its way to someone else. It's for everybody. And so Paul and his sidekick there who's traveling with him, Barnabas, and then James and Peter and John, they decide, hey, let's divide and conquer this great commission that Jesus left us with to go into all the earth and make sure everybody knows about Jesus. Let's divide and conquer. Look, Paul and Barnabas in verse 9, you two should go to the Gentiles. You see that there? You guys should go to the Gentiles. What does that mean? That just means, guys, keep doing what you're doing. Paul and Barnabas, keep on task. Stay in your lane. Keep focused. Don't lose focus, because the whole world needs to hear this freedom-changing, giving message of Jesus. And as you go to the ends of the earth, keep telling everybody that you meet about Jesus, because Paul, Barnabas, the primary places that God seems to be sending you are places that primarily are filled with Gentile people. However, if you happen to cross some Jewish people along the way, feel free to share the gospel with them too, because the gospel is for everybody. It's for you on its way to someone else. And so tell them. And then, hey, James and Peter and John, you guys keep focusing on and going, in verse 9, to the circumcised. What does that mean? That just means, guys, keep doing what you're doing. Staying focused primarily on the Jewish people that God has you centered around. Those tend to be the primary group of people that you are influencing right now. Keep preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Jewish people. However, if your path happens to cross some Gentile people along the way, don't hold the gospel back to only Jewish people. Be free in giving that good news to everybody. Everybody matters. Tell them. This great commission, we're all in this together. That's what it meant back in verse 9. Look again in verse 9. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, Paul says, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Let's talk about this right hand of fellowship. What does that mean? There's got to be some context around that, some cultural understandings of what that meant. There are. In biblical days, in the Near East, to clasp the right hand of a person, what was like making a solemn vow with that person. It was a mark of shared fellowship. It was stepping into an agreement, a partnership that there's something good happening here that we need to recognize. And so what Paul is saying right here is that he and these pillars of the church in Jerusalem, check this out, they're both in doctrinal harmony and in relational unity. They're in doctrinal harmony and relational unity. That's part of what it means when we say around here, we're in community and what? On mission. We're in doctrinal harmony and relational unity. And that's what they're saying back in the letter. Paul's going, we're on the same team here. We're working together for a bigger purpose. We're on the same team when it comes to the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying. And the leaders of these 12 disciples, Peter and John, and then Jesus' own brother, James, they're all in agreement together. Let's partner. Let's be a singular focused group when it comes to sharing the gospel. But Paul and Barnabas, you really focus in on Gentiles. And Peter, James, John, you really keep focusing on the Jewish people. But here's the deal. Keep telling everybody, everywhere about Jesus. Could we just make that declaration out loud? Because that was true for them and it's true for us today. Keep telling everybody, everywhere about Jesus. The gospel was meant for you on its way to someone else. So friends, don't stop. And don't fight. And don't get territorial. And for heaven's sake, don't get political on me here. Too small to get political. This is about the kingdom. And the kingdom is about a king. So let's get radically gracious. Let's get incredibly generous. And let's get uber practical about it. Sharing and living out the gospel in our everyday walking around lives. You go, what do you mean get uber practical about sharing the gospel? Well, look at verse 10. Only they asked us to remember the poor. Underline that phrase there, remember the poor. They asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do, Paul says. The very thing I was eager to do. In other words, being a true follower of Jesus, it has to lead to some kind of demonstrable action, some kind of displayable kindness, some kind of tangible way that we actually impact and bless other people's lives. What he's saying is, there's got to be some fruit being born on the branches of our life if we're a true follower of Jesus. Otherwise, we're no different than what those agitators were talking about. We're just doing some kind of religious song and dance to try to be a part of some club that Jesus never died for in the first place. Jesus died for every person, not for some rule and regulation. And he says, man, everybody, everywhere, once you put your faith, hope, and trust in me, then let that change the way you live your life. Another way of saying that is sharing the gospel goes beyond words into actions. Let's take an out loud note together on three. One, two, three. Sharing the gospel goes beyond words into actions. It doesn't mean it goes straight to actions. Don't miss this. It also has to include you opening your mouth. You sharing the good news. And then demonstrating that with your life. It's your life and your lips lining up. That's what we're talking about. And that's one of the things that I love so much about this church, about Arapahoe Road. I love that our philosophy, that our mentality, that our approach that Jesus has led our church family to. We talk a lot about it, following Jesus and loving your neighbor and blessing the city and making disciples. That's what we talk about regularly here at Arapahoe Road. And part of what that looks like is our version, our interpretation of extending the right hand of fellowship with other groups, with other people who want to come together around common good issues and help, quote unquote, to remember the poor. Let's define that as a place where need still exists that we can do something about. And we can do something more effectively if we don't do it on our own, but we reach out and link hands with someone else. So what does that lead to on earth as it is in heaven? The kingdom of God opening up here. You think there's going to be any need left unmet in heaven? No, not at all. So part of why we're still here is to see the kingdom open up. And where needs exist and it's within our capacity to link hands and arms and feet and minds and lives with others in appropriate ways, we can meet those needs as expressions of our faith in Jesus and share the reason that we do it along the way. And I love that partnerships, the right hand of fellowship is just a part of who we are here. You go, what are you talking about? It's our partnership with Lionheart Children's Academy to help meet the need of childcare in a gospel-centered environment when we're not utilizing our facilities. It's our partnership in a different kind of way with our friends from Texans Can Academy to help meet the need of education in our community with those who needed a different environment, a second chance to come back into a place that's safe and that's for them to help them get their education. It's our partnership and our ministry with the Heart for the Fatherless to help resource the needs and meet the needs of the foster and adoption community that's all around us. It's our opportunity that we just had to provide food and other essentials to families who have children and teenagers in the juvenile detention system. Don Baker shared how our church family could help bless, in other words, to extend a right hand of fellowship and provide some of those unmet needs through Alert Ministries. It's our partnership with Scott and Rachel and Joseph and Piper Partridge, who right now are serving in Germany. What are they doing over there? They're helping to plant churches and to bring help and hope to people in that part of the world, especially to a host and a trail of refugees that are coming through that part of the world. Deep unmet needs. It's you, church family, whether you're in this room or in your living room. We all live somewhere, and it's you on your street. partnering with neighbors, reaching out, meeting needs, sharing hope, telling people about Jesus. Friends, the gospel of Jesus was intended for you on its way to someone else. Would you say that with me? The gospel of Jesus was intended for you on its way to someone else. So let me just ask you, who is it that Jesus is bringing to your mind in this moment that you may need to reach out to? That you may be called upon by the Spirit of God to bless, to remember them, to share hope with them. Who is God bringing to mind right now? Is it a coworker? Is it a neighbor? A family member? An acquaintance? Well, what are you going to do about it? How might God begin to lead you to reach out? How might God creatively inspire you to bless? Maybe it's anonymously, but you know of a need, and you know God's given you the capacity to help meet a need. How might you be used of God to share hope this week? In the scriptures, particularly over in the Psalms, out in the margin, sometimes you'll see a little Hebrew word, Selah. Selah just means stop for a second and think about what you just heard. And think about what God may be saying to you in this moment. George said it earlier, this hour together may be our most peaceful hour of our whole week. Don't rush past it. Selah. Stop for a second and think about what's God saying to me through what we've been reading in His Word, through what we've been experiencing in these moments together. And as a way for us to prepare our hearts, our lives, to possibly share hope on our street in the coming week, would you join me in preparing our hearts for that moment by engaging your heart in this moment? As we prepare to take the elements of the bread and the cup, to remember, what are we doing this for in the first place? The scripture says, we are to be Christ's ambassadors as though He was making His appeal through us. What a responsibility. Not so that we will be saved, but because we already are and we've been rescued for good works. It's very different in doing a lot of good works so that we might be saved. No. Because as we've been saying, Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing, that equals everything. And so even in this moment, would you begin to get your elements ready? The bread, the cup. Would you get those ready? And as you get those ready, as you prepare, would you remember what Paul wrote earlier that we read about in Galatians 2? We read about it just a moment ago. He said in the back half of verse 6 this, "Those I say who seemed influential," he goes on to say, "those who say I seem to be influential, they added how much to me? They added nothing to me." What's he saying there? Paul shared the gospel that he'd been preaching to the Gentiles. He lays it all out before the leaders of the church, James, Peter, John, about how salvation is in Jesus and Jesus alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. Nothing else is needed to be saved. And Peter, James, and John, Paul says, they didn't add anything to that. They didn't add anything to me. They didn't add anything to the gospel. Friends, please remember, the broken body of Jesus and the poured out blood of Jesus, the bread that we will take in a moment, the cup that we will take in a moment, that represents Jesus' broken body and his poured out blood on the cross, is sufficient. It's enough for our salvation and for the complete and total forgiveness of our sins. Nothing else is needed for our salvation. And so when Paul says, remembering the poor, that does not mean we're adding that to the cross to make us good enough. Remembering the poor is not an additive to our salvation. Remembering the poor is a good thing to do, to help bless, to help love, to help lead people to faith in Christ in a tangible way. But it's not what saves you. Jesus is who saves us. Same thing with giving. We'll have that as an opportunity to worship. But friends, giving generously as part of our worship, that's not what saves us. That doesn't have anything to do with rescuing us from sin, death, Satan, and hell. Giving generously is a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's an obedience to what the Lord asks us to do as a way to bless others. But it's not what saves us. Jesus saves us. We talked about last week, peaceful protesting, being an advocate, signing petitions, registering and voting. None of that adds to the cross for our salvation. But those kinds of things, peaceful protesting, being an advocate, signing petitions, voting, may be good things, helpful things, needed things to change, things that needed to be changed in our society. Just remember, that's not what saves us, though. Jesus saves us. He doesn't love you more because you vote. He loves you because you were made in his image. And the same thing with partnerships. Being in partnerships, a good thing. But it doesn't change what saves us. Jesus and Jesus alone saves us. So who is invited to consume the bread and the cup today? It's any person who's put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for forgiveness of sins, for a new life, freedom in Christ. And if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, or you're not sure about that, and that's something that you're feeling like the Lord is revealing that to you and drawing you to become a follower of his, I invite you, before we take the bread and cup, to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and then be a part of celebrating what Jesus did on the cross. If you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, and you're not, or you're unsure if you are, I invite you to pray a simple but powerful prayer that I enjoy leading people to do. And hopefully you've heard this so many times that you could stand here and share it with someone else. The ABC, A, admit that Jesus is the Savior and you are the sinner, to believe that what Jesus did on the cross takes care of all of your sin, and to call on his name. The scripture says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Sin, death, Satan, and hell. And some of you right now are sitting there going, you say this every week. I can parrot what you're saying. Good. I hope you will. As you do what we're talking about. Blessing. Sharing. Meeting needs that goes in tandem with sharing words. We're saying this week after week as an invitation for people, but also as a training so that you know what to say when you have a moment to step in and share the gospel with someone. So if you'd like to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, I invite you to pray with me. If you've already done that, pray for those who are considering doing this right now. And Lord, we love you. We come to you, and I just want to lead any who want to put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus in this prayer. Lord, they're the ones who are going to be praying it. They will be saying it out loud or whispering it or speaking it to you in their heart and mind. But Lord, would you receive these prayers from those who want to pray? Dear Jesus, I admit I'm the sinner. You're the Savior. Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross paid for my sin. And Jesus, I call on you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to forgive me of my sin. Give me a fresh start, that I might be a follower of yours. I love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me, would you just let me know today by emailing me, david@arapahoeroad.org. I'd love to follow up with you and help you take some next steps in your faith and to celebrate with you about what the Lord has led you to do. But right now, I invite you to take your bread and take your cup. If you're meeting in a place where you have a mask on, I invite you to go ahead and remove your mask. And let me read to you what the Apostle Paul went on to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about the Lord's Supper. He says this in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take and eat. "And in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Jesus, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your blood that you shed to pay the price for our sin and to give us freedom. We do this today in remembrance of you. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. Those who are in this room, if you'd go ahead and put your mask back on, that would be great. You're kind of hoping we'd linger here in this moment just a little bit longer because the bread and the cup and the oxygen was so good, right? Yeah, I'm glad that you are here today. And friends who are watching from home and worshiping from home, when the time is right, we welcome you back into this place. We're grateful to those who felt ready to come in today, some new friends, some new faces that we had the opportunity to say hello to and to meet. I know for some of you, this is your first time in this room. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. I'd love the opportunity to connect with you. For some who are engaging online, this may be the first time for you. Welcome. So glad that you're with us today. We're here to help you, to walk alongside you, to extend that right hand of fellowship to you. And just know that we're grateful that you are with us today. We have some ongoing opportunities for you to continue to gather. Our online platforms are before you here. We hope to see you again next Sunday, if not in person, online then at Facebook Live. Whoop, can we go back there for just 1 second? Facebook Live, YouTube, and then at our website. You can go to arapahoeroad.org and find all this information. And then on Wednesday night, we continue gathering for a time of study of prayer, and then we'll move into a time of actually praying together. Prayer study on Facebook Live, 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, and we'll look forward to another opportunity this Wednesday to gather. Philip Burgess will continue leading that time of study, and then we'll jump into a Zoom prayer call in following that, about 15 minutes or so, and hope that you will consider being a part of that with us. If today's the day that you worship the Lord through giving and generosity, the most secure and easiest way to do that is from our website at arapahoeroad.org. If you'll just go in the upper right-hand corner and click on the Give button, it will prompt you to take the next steps that you'll want to take to give to the Lord through the church in that way. Thank you for your continued faithfulness. If you've never given before, I invite you to let today be the first day that you step into that part of obedience and being a follower of Jesus. In the room here, if you would prefer to give in a tangible way, like putting something not in a plate, because we don't pass plates anymore, because we don't want all those fingers all over the plates. So what we have along the wall next to each exit are metal secure boxes, and there's a slit at the top where you can just place your tithes or offering in there if that would be more convenient for you. So thanks so much for being with us today. I invite you to stand with me, and I'd love to give you a blessing as we prepare to conclude our time. Giving a blessing is what is just a part of our rhythm here at Arapahoe Road, and it's in tandem with what we see happening throughout church history as followers of Jesus would gather together. They got enough curse going on in their life. When they gather together, they ought to be able to receive blessing. And so we actually think there's something to our posture, not in some kind of weird mystical way, but just in a, hey, God created our bodies, and so posturing ourselves like we're actually receiving something helps connect what we're doing. So I invite you just to hold your hands out if you feel comfortable, and I'd love to give you this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. May His face shine upon you. When you're wearing a mask, know that He sees behind that into your heart. Live this way in such a way that your actions and your words bless our community. In blessing our community, you bless the Lord. You are here on purpose for a purpose. Live well. Be generous. Speak kindness. And share boldly the truth of the gospel of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We're Arapahoe Road, we're in community and on mission, and that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. Bless you, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.